Hello, this is Michael. Thank you so very much for listening to the podcast today. I do really appreciate it. You know, if you'd like more information, you can visit me online at michaelottministries.org. And while you're there, be sure to get my email address and send in your prayer request and your comments. It's always great to hear from you. Did you know that I'm also on iTunes and Podomatic and Google Play and Spotify and YouTube and iHeartRadio and a whole lot of other funny sounding places, so you can listen online on just about any device you carry. And if you go to michaelottministries.blogspot.com, you can subscribe to my blog by entering your email address right there in the little box on top of the page. Thanks again for listening today, and as we always do, it would be an honor and my great joy to pray for you. My loving Father, who is like your people, your children, the ones who are so dear to your heart? Father, with all my heart today, I pray for them, and not only the ones who hear these words, but everyone they love and every situation in their lives. Once again, it's the simple prayer that I pray for them, that their lives would be pure heaven on earth. Let them be full of joy and health and prosperity. These things I ask and I proclaim through Christ Jesus my Lord. Amen. The message today is called The Adored Ones, and we begin in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then to Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. As I was praying today, these verses bubbled up in my heart, and I began to think about them. As I did, Father began speaking, and he asked me to write a love letter to his beloved ones. And here are his words. He said, "My delightful ones, I have some things to tell you that you need to hear. I hear all of your prayers, even the ones that are prayed in total unbelief. I want to tell you why you're having troubles getting the things you pray for. I have not withheld anything from you. I have already given you all things pertaining to life and your godliness. I have already blessed you with every blessing, and I have spoken wonderful things about you to bless you. The problem is not in my giving or withholding anything. My dear loved ones, here is the problem. You have listened to the voice of false religion so long that you have deemed yourselves unworthy of my love and of my blessing. They told you that you were naked and you should be ashamed. They told you that you're just an old sinner who will barely squeak into heaven because of something called grace. They don't realize what they are saying is despicable. To say that the precious blood of my son was only enough to make you a forgiven sinner is blasphemy. You are not just forgiven, you are justified, sanctified, and glorified. You are seated with me in heavenly places. Those who tell you that you're just an old sinner saved by grace are swimming in their own ignorance. So don't listen to that hogwash anymore. My loved ones, I made you in my image, which means when I look in a mirror, I see me. If I look at you, I see me. You are in my image. The image is the same. You are one spirit with me. We are not separated. This is what causes you problems. Because you don't believe you are worthy and the things I freely gave to you run from you. You are driving away your blessing with unbelief, because you believe you're unworthy to receive them. So-called religion has done this to you. You must turn away from anything that does not edify you. It's the same with those who call themselves prophets. You were instructed that all prophecy in the new covenant is to edify and encourage. But the broadcasts you hear are doom and gloom. They are not my words. My words always build you up to know who you truly are. I need you to lay aside all the unworthiness. I want you to do this by meditating on who I say you are, and not who the voice of religion in your head tells you that you are. You know the voice, the one that when you just finish praying about something, immediately comes into your head, giving you 10 reasons why you're not worthy to have your request, saying you didn't fast and pray enough, or you didn't give enough, or you don't have enough faith. You must cast down these imaginations and do so violently. These thoughts are your enemy. For those of you who have ears to hear, these negative thoughts are the only devil you will ever have to face. Don't tolerate a negative thought in your head any longer than you would tolerate a rattlesnake in your bed. My loved ones, you have faith in me, but you don't have faith in you. You must come to believe the truth about yourselves. You were so valuable that I sent my beloved son, and he went to a bloody cross, along with me and with Holy Spirit. As our beloved Paul told you in his letter to the Corinthians, in what you call 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you will read this chapter over and over, you will understand. I didn't turn my back on my son on the cross. I was with him on that cross, reconciling the whole world unto myself. Holy Spirit was there too. Holy Spirit descended to be with my son and never left. How many times did my son say, "My Father, in me does the works"? I was there and I never left. When he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" it was not a declaration of him being forsaken. All those around him who knew Scripture would have known he was quoting from the Psalm you call 22. He was showing the people around him that this prophetic psalm was being fulfilled right before their eyes. And if you read the whole psalm, you will understand that it goes on to declare that he was not forsaken. Those who say that I could not look on sin and turn my back on my own son on the cross are speaking blasphemy. These very same people will tell you that I'm keeping records of your sins to punish you for them. So if I can't look on sin, how would I keep record of it? Stop listening to this foolishness. We were totally committed to give our lives to ransom you from your fallen mind. You were not fallen in our mind. We were not counting your sins against you, as you were told in that same letter from Paul. The purpose of the cross was not that I was angry, and the debt for my anger had to be paid, or I couldn't forgive you. The crucifixion was to pay the price for the curse of the law of Moses. It was to put an end to that covenant and bring in a new one. Everyone, with the exception of my son, broke that covenant, and a sacrifice was required to buy freedom for all who were captive to the curse of that law. The law demanded blood, and so blood was paid to satisfy the debt to the old covenant. All the curses of that covenant were placed upon my son on that cross. As you were told in Scripture, that a woman cannot marry another as long as her husband is alive. But if her husband is dead, she is free to marry again. Israel was married to the law, and the law had to die for her to be free to marry Christ. My son told you that not one jot or tittle of that law would pass away until all was fulfilled. He fulfilled the old covenant and proclaimed that he did so when he said, "It is finished." Now let's talk about forgiveness. Think of it this way. Suppose your spouse steps on your toes and says, "I'm sorry, honey." Now imagine you telling your spouse that you can only forgive them if someone is punished. That is not forgiveness. If you owe your neighbor $1,000 and someone else pays the debt for you, then your debt was not forgiven. It was paid by someone else. Do you see how religion has twisted the beautiful story of a loving father saving his children from their fallen minds and turning it into a story of an angry, vengeful God who must punish someone in order to forgive them? My loved ones, you were created in perfection, and you stand before me today, holy and blameless and perfect in my sight. So when you pray, don't beg and act like you're not worthy. come boldly to the throne of grace, knowing who you are in Christ, and lay hold of all the grace you need to abound in all things. All of my promises are yes and amen. So don't be afraid I'll say no. I already said yes. I am not double-minded. Remember, my loved ones, the word pray does not mean to ask. It means to take hold of what already has been given to you. So, my loved ones, take time to think about how precious you are. I, the Father, Son, and Spirit all adore you so much that we came to earth to heal you of your blindness to who you are. We adore you, and our greatest desire is for you to celebrate with us in spirit and in truth, knowing that you are the adored ones. This is the end of the words he gave me to share with you today. I sure hope you're encouraged by these words. Until next time, grow rich in his grace. I love you each and every one, and I'll see you soon.